Today we get to continue our series on Give It Up. We've had a couple weeks where Pastor Dan spoke about giving up control and giving up pride, and then Pastor Jonna in between spoke about giving up greed. And yet I look around and you still keep coming back wanting to give up more. So congrats for being here. Today I get to take the journey further and we get to look at what it means to give up success. You see, most of us journey through a season in life where we focus on the world's definition for success. It's during this season when we start to pursue power, possessions, position, pleasure. We begin striving for success and for status. And as we pursue these things, we begin to realize that focusing on these areas can sometimes bring hurt, suffering, disappointment, separation, even loss. See, if we look at success as simply getting ahead, is seeking our own selfish desires, we may find that it brings damage and destruction to our lives and to the lives of those who are around us. The most important takeaway I have for you today is that Christ teaches us to shift our focus, to move from success and status to significance and service. Let me say that again. The most important thing we're going to learn today from Christ himself is to shift our focus from success and status to significance and service. True success will only come through Christ alone, who taught us to lay down our lives for each other, to love those who he brings into our lives, to live out our days for his word as he gives it to us. We are to be aligned to that word. He directs us and guides us by the power of the Holy Spirit that he's indwelled within us so that we can realize the fruit of that Spirit, so we can be prosperous in reflecting his character to those around us, so we can attain success by being difference makers in the lives of others. We get to make the invisible Christ visible to them. Biblically, our success or significance is not determined by how much stuff we possess, by how much we accumulate over time, or even by what position we attain. John Maxwell, a renowned author, pastor, and leadership coach, said it well. Success is knowing your purpose in life. It's growing to reach your maximum potential. It's sowing seeds that benefit others. Success is when I add value to myself, but significance is when I add value to others. Whether through entertainment, sports, or the workplace, emphasis is continually placed on how we as individuals have an internal need to go all out for success. Just this past week, many of you may have been following the Olympics on TV. Success is defined by reaching the medal stand. True success, the ultimate achievement, is to attain the gold medal. We feel really bad for those who fall short, and we rejoice and celebrate those who reach the goal. We recently wrapped up the NFL football season. The Super Bowl focused on winning the Vince Lombardi Trophy and leaving the field as Super Bowl champs. So is all this success wrong in God's eyes? No, not at all. See, when we put our gifts and our talents to good use, then we put God at the center. We please him. God wants us to be successful. He wants us to have lasting success. So what's wrong then with striving for that success? It all centers in our heart and in our mind on motive. What is our motive? What is it in life that makes us so competitive? What requires us to know, or at least to feel like we have to be better than others? What causes us not only to desire to win, but to topple others along the way as we do so? Television reality shows today bring this to life in a whole new level. We see newer and darker ways of what it means to be successful, how the world measures that success. These shows glorify wealth and power and honor and winning at all costs. As I shared already, if we look at success as simply getting ahead and seeking our own desires, we may find it brings nothing but damage and destruction. We are taught that we are successful when we accumulate wealth, when we gain power, when we have prestige and fame. We consider ourselves to be successful when our accomplishments and earthly ambitions give us higher standing in the world. We sometimes think we can measure success the way the world does. However, I want you to remember how God sees success. He shows it to us in Hebrews chapter 11, and I don't have time to go through the whole litany of folks that are in that chapter. None of them were successful in the eyes of the world. They were ordinary people who did extraordinary things. But the Lord showed us through his word that they were significant, faith-filled people who played out God's unfolding story in their own journey. See, we may find it, I know I do, find it difficult to give up our desire to attain success in this world. Our human nature, my human nature, wants to be in control. We want to be self-sufficient. We want to be in the driver's seat of our lives. Why do we have this drive to succeed for its own glory? Why do we have an attitude that sometimes leads to provoke others to envy or jealousy? We need to let go. We need to let God control our destiny. If we want to be seen as significant on his terms and in his eyes, we need to let go of the drive to outshine others. Instead, let's replace that with a desire to serve others, especially those who are less fortunate in our lives. Success is accomplishing what the Lord created each of us to do. When we turn from success to significance, we please God. We get to align to his will. You see, as Christians, we need to consider, why does significance outweigh success in all that we do in light of God's word? When we look at life through his lens, the Lord no longer has us focus on personal gain, personal achievement. Rather, he asks us to put significance at the forefront of our hearts and our minds. He wants our motive to be laser focused on impacting the lives of everyone around us for his glory, not ours. 1 Timothy 6, 11-12, Paul reminds us, "But you, man of God, flee from all this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you were made good your confession in the presence of many witnesses." We see in his word here, the message of Christ is what God desires. It's what is of utmost importance to him and should be to us. The message of Christ must be the cornerstone that we build the foundation of our lives on. Paul reveals its importance by putting our hope in him, putting our hope in Christ. In 1 Timothy 6:17, he exhorts us and asks us to command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, not to put their hope in wealth. It's so uncertain, but put your hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. We can see as we look further into this passage that we're called not to success as defined by this world, but to significance. And he defines it here as service to others. He says, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous, to be willing to share. It's in this way that we lay up the treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that we may take hold of life. It truly is. Many of us, myself included, will be challenged in this life. Challenged when we seek God's truth and when we try to put his truth into action. The world around us will try to distract us from having a significant life, a life that gives significance to God. The world would have us focus on riches and pleasures and personal gain, or maybe even the lack of our ability to attain those riches and pleasures. So here's my encouragement to you today. Seek God's truth. Do it every day. His truth makes all the difference. His simple truth has not changed. It never will. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He shows us what it means to be humble. He shows the value of humility. In contrast, the world that surrounds us says, I need to look out for number one. I need to look out for my own self-interest. I need to put myself first. But as followers of Christ, we're at odds with that teaching. We don't need to be caught up in this world. We don't need to have the world's vision of success. God's word tells us that we are in this world, but not of this world. 1 John chapter 2 says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it's not of the Father, it's of this world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. As Christians, we have the perfect example who has always served as our motivation to do what God wants and not what the world wants. Christ told us if anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last, the servant of all. To be significant in God's kingdom is to understand what he sees as significant. What is significant is simply the meaning of the cross, the message of good news that came from Jesus Christ. When his story is central to who we are in our lives, we discover its significance. We know what he desires of us within his kingdom. From the Old Testament to the present day, we hear from Micah, he has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. When we hear God's word and when we study it more closely, we realize that his truth has been and always will be forever the same. It says in 1 Corinthians, for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. When I was living in Florida, I remember news coverage following one of the major hurricanes, and there was widespread damage and there was devastation and destruction everywhere. And at Newscaster 1, they interviewed this one man whose house was still standing. And he said, why is your house the only one that remains? And he said, I built this house myself, but I built it according to the building code. When the code called for 2x6 roof trusses, I used 2x6 roof trusses. I was told that a house that was built according to code would withstand the hurricane. You see, adhering to building code yielded the best outcome for this man. When we adhere to God's code for our lives, to his word, as it feeds into us, we stand on the firm foundation of that truth. And with it, we can weather the storms when they come our way. So I ask you, are you following God's code for your life? Are you seeking significance? Are you following the world's instruction manual? Do you look out only for yourself? Have you walked over others as you've tried to climb your way to the top to be ahead of everybody in the world's eyes? We cannot let our sinful nature gain a stronghold over us. We must seek the truth, and we must eagerly serve others in light of that truth. John 13 says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. But you also love one another. By this, all of you will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. We know that if anyone wants to be first, he must be the very servant and the servant of all, as Christ taught us. You see, it was here that Jesus provided his students with much needed direction. Jesus showed that his disciples lacked understanding of what it took to have a life of significance. Over and over and over again, The disciples would seek personal achievement and wanted Jesus to see them as the leader of the pack, as the teacher's best student, as the one who would rise above. Many times, we may be challenged exactly the same way. We may aspire to be more successful than the person sitting next to us. Instead, let's recognize that Christ suffered for us. He humbled himself. Let's gain a perspective on what God defines as biblical success. Without Christ's humility, we're filled with pride. We're filled with ego. We seek status in our job titles, in our positions in life. We go after the corner office. We go after a coveted assignment in what we do. Without a serious heart check, we become ambitious. It becomes an ambition that is compulsive, obsessive, covetous, and ruthless at times. God exalts us when we find that true servant's heart in us. He shows us that when he took the little boy in his arms and he shared this child as an example, that we can learn, whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. Whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but welcomes the one who sent me. Jesus shows that significance comes from having the humble heart of a child, by being able to care for those who are the most insignificant among us. In Aramaic, the word for child and servant is one of the same. It means least significant. And when we think about that, we need to have the heart of a child, to have that heart where the only ambition that would truly give us life is the ambition to serve others as they grow. Our attitude needs to be exactly the same as Jesus Christ himself. In Philippians 2, he says, "Who being in very nature God," Paul shares, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself. He became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, and he gave him a name above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In closing, I want to share a story by Dr. Viktor Frankl. He was an Austrian physician who was imprisoned in one of Hitler's death camps. He and his fellow Jewish people suffered unbelievable atrocities. Everything about their living and working conditions were deplorable. They had no medical care. But Dr. Frankl offered what little medical attention he could. He tended to the sick and to the dying. Over time, he discovered there was a unique phenomenon that came from this, and he recorded it in his book, Man's Search for Meaning. He said, "Those people who keep their strength and their sanity the longest were those who tried to help the other prisoners, were those who shared what little they had. Their physical and mental condition seemed to strengthen and to grow strong by their friendliness, their compassion, their focus on something other than themselves." You see, ministering to others breathes life into us. It fills us with energy. This is contrary to what the world tells us, that we should have the great fear that when we give away our resources, our inner being, that we deplete ourselves, that our energy is drained. That's not the truth. In God's eyes, what is important is who we are and how we put that into action, how we put the gifts that he's given us to good use. 2 Corinthians 12 says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Brothers and sisters, we are called to a life of significance, one where we are servants to others and a servant to God. We are called to sacrifice our wants, our desires, our position in order to serve God and to serve our neighbor. God is calling us to serve him with our entire lives, to be Christ to the world around us, to be a light of hope to be an instrument of justice, to embody what it means to love and to be an example of mercy to the rest of this world. God is calling us to servanthood, to give ourself away. When we commit our ways to the Lord, we completely submit to his plans, to his purpose, to his desires. We put ourselves in his hands and we trust him to do what's best. When we commit our ways, we no longer strive for success and for status. We give it up. We give it up. Instead, we will thrive on significance and service. As Dwight Moody once said, the measure of a man is not how many servants he has, but how many men he serves. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we humbly submit our hearts to you. Lord, help us to let go of everything that wants us to grab for success and for status and to pursue those for our own being. But rather, Lord, give us a heart and a desire to put the gifts that you've given us to use to make a significant impact in the lives of others, to serve them with humility and with love and with grace and with mercy. Lord, guide our hearts and guide our minds to a place where we can bow down to you, where we can trust you, where we can live a life of significance and a life of service truly in your name. We pray all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.